Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready, and featuring RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting.
Caution, you are about to enter the no-spin zone.
Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style. Just like Dead Soxy.
I'm better looking than you.
Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome to another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm Neil McCready. Today on the show, Russell Johnson joins. We will talk some football recruiting. We'll talk some basketball recruiting. We will get to that momentarily. First, let me tell you about Dead Soxy. Warm weather is on the horizon, at least here in the South. Maybe not quite so much there in the Midwest where Russell is right now, but it'll come there too. And with it comes the inevitable debate of sock or no sock with your loafers. So save your feet and your shoes from making their own impression. Step into spring with some no shows, from Dead Soxy. You do want shoes with your socks, otherwise the socks get all torn up. You want shoes, but you also want no-shows from Dead Soxy. You really need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. It's the first step in dressing for the job you want, not necessarily for the job you have. So go to DeadSoxy.com and enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 30% off all orders, including sale items. These no-shows are the same quality you already love and enjoy with Dead Soxy's traditional dress socks, and they come with the no-slip guarantee. So go to DeadSoxy.com, check out the no-show collection, and remember to enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off all orders. I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Listen, if you think you're in the market for a vehicle, if you think you might be in the market for a vehicle soon, whatever the case may be, just get in touch with Corey. Ask for a quote. Even if you don't know for sure that you're looking for a Ford, get in touch with Corey. Ask for a quote. At the very least, that quote's going to give you a baseline moving forward. And what it might do is do for you what it did for me and others, and that is get you pretty turned on to the idea of getting a Clark Ford. They're in Amory. They have great service after the sale, delivery options, the whole deal. Everything you could want in a car dealer. Corey Clark and the people at Clark Ford are that for you. Corey wants to be a truck guy. He wants to be a car guy. He'll prove it to you. 662-257-1900. Let Corey know that you heard about Clark Ford here on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy, and you will save $500 off your already great bottom line. Russell, how are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. It's been a while since I've been on here, so the weather is actually, you know, semi nice. I think the high tomorrow is 72, so spring is starting in the state of Ohio.
Oh, so you guys are not impacted by the big blizzard that's coming through?
Not yet. I know it's going to affect some baseball series like around the area, but I don't think it's going to hit Akron, thankfully.
Okay, yeah, because I was. Right before we're taping this on what's tonight, Wednesday. We're taping this on Wednesday night, and I was listening to the first inning of the Cubs Pirates game at Wrigley, and the announcers were talking about how all the players for both teams had on like the, you know, the parka mask and stuff. I mean, everybody was, it's like really cold, wind chill blowing in off the lake and all that stuff. So, and I know like Minnesota's expecting historic snow, so
Colorado got historic snow.
Yeah, like the Braves Rockies tonight, they canceled it much earlier in the day, maybe even yesterday. They knew that game wasn't getting played.
Yeah, the Braves are setting themselves up for quite the August, going from New York to Toronto and stopping in Colorado for a one game stop.
Well, you know, the Cubs did that a year ago, and two things did the Cubs in. One was the Brewers played historic baseball for the last month and a half of the season. They were fantastic. And the other thing is Cubs never had a day off because they had so many rainouts and snowouts and weather outs in April and early May that literally every one of their scheduled days off for September got eliminated. They had that one day in Washington. They broke up a homestand with one game in Washington, and it did kind of wear them down. So everybody jokes about it, but it's kind of something to keep an eye on as the season goes on, because you add a few of those up, and all of a sudden you're playing, you know, like the Cubs did. I think the Cubs played 41 games in 42 days or something, and that'll tax the bullpen.
Oh, yeah, that'll tax the bullpen, and, yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
All right, we'll start with basketball, since the signing period begins on Wednesday, a week from today as we tape this. You'll hear this on Thursday, so the signing period starts in 6 days. Austin Crowley due in, when you hear this, due in today, Thursday, for his official visit. You and I have probably talked to different people, maybe some of the same people, about this. I'll just say that if I were an Ole Miss fan, I would be really, 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 really optimistic about my team's chances of landing Austin Crowley on in the signing period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely would be too. And, you know, really, it's just kind of lucked out for Ole Miss, because, you know, losing him out to Vanderbilt early on, the way they did, I mean, that was before the season had even began. And I'm not sure, you know, Crowley being that he signed early, you know, I'm not sure how much attention he was paying to Ole Miss and to the SEC in general. But the season that they had, I don't think that Crowley would have been so receptive and open and excited to possibly end up playing back in his home state if it wasn't for Kermit's success this season.
Oh, there's absolutely no question that that when people ask, you know, what's a byproduct of the success that the team had, a tangible byproduct will be Austin Crowley, for sure. No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he was a kid that they were not going to get without having success. He needed to be shown.
Agreed 100%. And, I mean, it seems that no matter, you know, what they have to do in order to improve the roster, that they're willing and able to do that, with a few exceptions. I mean, it seems like there's three or four kids that are going to return no matter what.
You know, Brian Tyree is going to test the NBA draft waters. I'll be shocked if he's not on the roster next year. Devontae Shuler will be on the roster. Blake Henson will be on the roster. KJ Buffin will be on the roster. I suspect Carlos Curry will be on the roster. If you made me guess, I would guess Franco Miller is on the roster. I'm not quite as sure on him. And I think they want to keep Luis Rodriguez around for another year. They've got four guys coming in, so they've got a spot. And one of those guys, Rodney Howard, could conceivably do the prep school thing and make it three guys coming in. It's flexible. It all depends on who they can get. I mean, for example, you know, they're in the mix for Kadeem Sy. I think they feel good about it. I think it's a cautious optimism. It's nowhere near the level of optimism as there is for Austin Crowley, at least from what I can gather. They wanted Jamin Brakefield now. They still want Jamin Brakefield, but he has elected not to reclassify, so he'll go into his senior season. He won't sign anywhere until November at the earliest. I've seen people, Russell, say that, you know, that's a devastating blow for Ole Miss. I disagree with it being devastating, and I've also seen people say it's no big deal, and I disagree with that too. I think it's somewhere in between. I think it's disappointing for Ole Miss. They wanted him to reclassify and sign and be a part of the program right away, but I don't think this necessarily represents the end for them. The problem that they have is that they've already used their official visit with him, and so they're going to have to win him over from afar, and he's probably going to take some other visits to some fairly high-profile programs, and so landing him does get far more difficult.
Oh, it does for sure. And, I mean, like you said, using that official, I mean, that's something that's happening in all sports. These early official visits that are taking place. And with Brakefield's case, it's a little bit different because it was a possible reclassification. and not the football recruiting calendar. But with Brakefield taking that visit so early, I mean, sure, he could feasibly return to Mississippi and visit, but it's going to have to be on his own dime. It's going to have to be unofficial. There's going to be all the restrictions that come with an unofficial visit and all of that, to the point to where it's not a hassle to get back, but it's not going to be a priority as much of it Ole Miss would have been and was a priority with the thought of him possibly reclassifying. Like you said, I would put it somewhere in the middle between, you know, not a big deal at all and a devastating blow. Because what this does now is this gives the bigger schools, the blue bloods, for a lack of a better word, you know, it gives them more of a chance to get in the mix and to keep their, you know, their head in the mix and to be able to gain ground. And then you've also obviously got, you know, West Virginia, who is going to make a really strong push. And Louisville, I don't really consider Louisville a blue blood, but they're heavily in the mix there as well.
What do you anticipate on Kadeem Sy? What happens with him? What do you think?
See, Sy's recruitment is where you're kind of curious to see just how far this Texas Tech bump can go. I mean, you know, they played in the national championship. They've got a really good coach in Chris Beard, who doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And it seems as if they have momentum that they plan on using in this 2019 class in recruiting. I mean, they were already able to sign a couple good ones, and they're still in on a couple good ones, and Sy is one of them. But Ole Miss has felt confident for a little while now with Sy. But like you said, it's a cautious optimism. They're not, you know, pounding on the table waiting for his signature on this coming week. But with Sy, it's going to come down to the visits. It's going to come down to, I guess, the home feeling that everybody talks about, and really just how much of a factor continuing to play with Bryce Williams will play.
Yeah, In the end, I like their chances. I wouldn't go crazy about them, but in the end, I like their chances. The visit has to go well. Yeah, that's about it, really. It's close. Bottom line, if you made me bet on a team, that's who I'd bet on. I wouldn't bet much, as opposed to Crowley, where if you gave me a stack of money and said you got to bet it on one dude, I'd go, okay, I'll bet Ole Miss with him.
Right.
What about grad transfers? What's the latest you hear there? I know that Christian Keeling, best I can gather, Christian Keeling remains priority one as it pertains to grad transfers. The problem for Ole Miss, and this is the problem really with trying to forecast anything as it pertains to grad transfers, is that everybody's in the grad transfer market. It's no longer an anomaly. Literally, it is a very common roster building tool. So everyone goes after the Christian Keelings of the world. And so he goes from having 2 to 3 options one day to having 30 the next. And so who knows what he's going to do? I know that he's a guy that Ole Miss has been in on. I know they want him. I know that he makes a lot of sense for what they want to try to do, but I don't have a real feel for just how in it they are.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I guess time's going to have to tell in terms of these grad transfers, because, you know, we were just going over the roster numbers, and if they're going to keep those guys, the Franco Miller and the Carlos Curry and the Luis Rodriguez's, there's going to be a number stop at some point where they can't take additional people. And I mean, if they get Crowley, it's going to be really hard for them to also take Hot. I'm trying to remember his real name. I always call him Hot Boy because I just think it's such a humorous nickname. I think it's Sean McNeil.
Yeah, it's Sean McNeil. Yeah, and I've heard different things about whether they would take McNeil. My personal opinion is that they would take him. I kept hearing over and over that the roster needs to get older. You know, it's conceivable. And again, no one has told me this, but it is conceivable with a kid like Franco Miller that you could put him at a JUCO for a year. He's qualified, so he could just go play 1 year and then he could come back. It's
good.
It's conceivable that you could look at a Franco Miller and say, hey, he's not as healthy as we wanted him to be, as we needed him to be, and you could, for lack of a better word, process him. No one has told me that. What I can tell you is if a kid like Christian Keeling wants to come, in my opinion, if a kid like Sean McNeil wants to come, you make room.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're really going to have to decide. And, I mean, you know, just thinking that, I was looking at the calendar earlier today when we decided we were going to do the podcast today, and I'm like, who would have thought that the week after the spring game, we would be talking so much about basketball recruiting? Because this time last year, you guys were, I think, still covering a coaching search at this point, or was Kermit hired by now?
No, he was hired by now, but, you know, they were doing that transition recruiting classes, which are always almost for everybody, you know, hit and miss. And I think they were trying to honor the guys that honor the commitments that had been made, you know, under Andy Kennedy. And they, you know, KJ Buffin was a Middle Tennessee guy. So he basically transferred his commitment. And, you know, the big one was Blake Henson. You know, everything else was kind of, you know, you're not scraping the bottom of the barrel, but you're not exactly recruiting the top guys either. So, you know, now they're now they're recruiting in a different, you know, kind of different air. It's kind of rarefied air a little bit. So, you know, when you're recruiting the Kadeem Sy's and the Sean McNeils and the Christian Keelings and the Austin Brakefields and the Austin Crowleys of the world, you're competing in a different venue, and there's the stakes are higher. There's more people involved. There's more quality programs involved. So it's a lot more difficult to predict. But people love to make fun of me for using this word, but the word fluid applies to the Ole Miss roster. I mean, it really does. That roster can change based on a phone call.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I just thought it was crazy because, you know, last year we had just – the recruiting had just kind of started to – I wouldn't say pick up, but like you said, you know, that when Kermit took the job, it was known that he was going to do his best to get Buffin. It was – Henson became a priority pretty quickly. And then from there, it was just, you know, kind of like you said, glue guys, for a lack of better words.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was able to do that. And now we're talking about a top 120 kid potentially committing in the next week or so. And it's just interesting to see how quickly things have changed, and how, I wouldn't call it on the back burner, football recruiting's gotten, but I think that if it wasn't for Kermit and the way that the season went and the way recruiting's going right now, there'd be a lot more pressure even than there is on the message board to have more commitments than they do, because I mean, the class of 2020 is going on, that they just had their spring game. Ole Miss did, and they hosted a ton of elite level recruits, not a ton of elite level recruits, but a ton of recruits and several elite prospects. And they don't have that high commitment number that you would expect them to, or that they had around this time last year.
All right, let's switch gears to football. We'll start with McKinley Jackson. I talked to him on Saturday, probably around, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock, something like that. It was before the Grove Bowl. He was there. What have you gathered about his visit since what I wrote, I guess, and what you wrote on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I was told it was a productive visit. You know, with McKinley, his recruitment's going to be your typical top Mississippi kid. There's the out of state schools that are always in on the top Mississippi kids: Alabama, LSU, Florida State. Recently, they haven't always been there, but they've been there the past few years. Those three, and then Mississippi State, and then you've got your couple possible West Coast schools that are going to try to get an official out of them, you know, Oregon and possibly USC. But USC has their own problems.
You know, Russell, I'm gonna interrupt you and tell me whether, and you know a lot more about this kid than I do. I've met him now one time for a full total of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not quite the authority on him. But if you made me base a guess off of those 5 minutes, and look, there were some dynamics involved in that interview that spins it this way a little bit. But if you made me just guess off body language and stuff, I would guess that it's Mississippi State, Ole Miss right now, and in that order.
Well, see, that'd be something. I mean, you know, like you say, just your 5 minutes, but that'd be something to, if that were the case. Mississippi State did take one of his teammates late late in February. So that was an interesting thing they did, and I guarantee you that has played a role into their increased chances with McKinley. But with them, I think they're gonna try to get him on campus for their spring game, and we'll see what happens with that. McKinley was actually supposed to go to Florida State last weekend, and there were some writers, fans, whatever you want to call them, on the Florida State beat, who were putting McKinley Jackson on commitment watch, and they had to watch their message.
Let me interrupt you again. The other thing that I would base off those 5 minutes is that kid's not making a binding decision until sometime, whatever the date of the February signing period is, that's when he's doing it, and not a moment before.
Oh, yeah. I think his phone will still be ringing, and so will some family members during his ceremony.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. All right. Let's talk about some other guys that have sort of been in the quote headlines a little bit. I know Ole Miss has been involved with T. Hodge. What's the word there?
Yeah, they had been in the picture. They had hosted him for a visit. They had held off on an offer for a little while, and then just this past weekend, the decision was made for the Maryville, Tennessee product to extend the offer. He's a bit of a different runner than, you know, Jarian Ealy or Tylan Knight. I mean, you really can't compare much to Ealy, and comparing anybody to Knight is going to make them look like a giant. So, I mean, you have that as well, but Hodge projects well to the next level. He's a top 250 kid. Tennessee's in the picture. Louisville's in the picture. Kentucky's in the picture. He had all kinds of offers, and it became almost another one of those hurry up and wait running back offers. And Ole Miss has a lot of those. I mean, you've got Trey Benson in state who they haven't offered yet. You've got everybody's favorite topic on the message board. Literally, it's the most said two words combination on the board. It's Jabari and Small. And he doesn't have an offer either. And everybody's freaking out about it. But the decision was made to go ahead and offer T. Hodge. And I'd expect him back on campus soon. I'm not sure if that'll be this weekend. It could be 2 weeks from now. I'd expect him back on campus soon, and I expect Ole Miss really helped their chances by pulling the trigger with the offer. And I also think that Tyrone Nix's relationships in Middle Tennessee and even in that part of the state in Knoxville, that's going to help.
All right, you mentioned Jarian Ealy. Let's touch this quickly. What do you hear about his decision, his draft? It's still a little early. We're getting to the place where we can start to talk about his draft stock a little bit, but maybe a dash early. What do you hear about his draft stock? What do you hear about the optimism or lack thereof from Ole Miss regarding him showing up?
I mean, I think every day that passes, there seems to be an increased level of optimism that Ealy's actually going to show up, and that, you know, Matt Luke and Tyler Siski and Derek Nix, their risk, the biggest risk they took. I mean, even when they first took his commitment in December of his junior year, knowing that it was going to be a lottery ticket no matter what, it seems like that's going to pay off. I mean, you see Baseball America putting out top 30 lists and mock drafts for the first round, and you look top to bottom, and you're like, wait, someone's missing, and it's Jarian Ealy.
I'll tell you this, Russell. I'll tell you this, Russell, from watching the Grove Bowl and what a little bit of spring that we kind of got a chance to see and a little bit of spring that I saw. And this is no knock on anybody. I'm not criticizing the kids. Devon Penniman is still in the recovery process, getting back from a devastating injury. He's one of the most popular kids on the team. He's a great kid. Everybody around it hopes that he returns to form. And I certainly do. I have no reason not to, but I wouldn't want to bet on it. I liked what I saw out of Snoop Connor in a limited role. Bottom line is this. Scotty Phillips is a senior, and he's a proven commodity at running back in the SEC. Nobody else is proven right now. Jarian Ealy, bottom line, if Jarian Ealy is as good as everyone thinks Jarian Ealy is, from you to Rob Cassidy to Woody Womack to Matt Luke to everybody else who talks about him, if Ely is as good as everybody thinks he is, he's absolutely getting a significant amount of carries at Ole Miss from minute one.
I agree 100%. I think that he would get carries, like you said, the moment he got on campus. That would be inevitable and expected.
Because Rodriguez wants to play multiple backs. If you study his history as a coach, he always plays multiple backs. He wants to run the ball. They're going to run it a lot more than Longo did, and you can't realistically expect Scotty Phillips to be that much of a bell cow, in my opinion. And this is not a knock on Scotty, but Scotty got hurt last year and missed basically the last two games. He tried to play, but he couldn't. I mean, he's a tough guy and he's a good back, but you got to have more than him. Truth is, you got to have 3 to 4 good backs in this league. And getting Jerry and Ely on campus changes the trajectory of that team next year.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Ely was he was quite the visitor during spring ball, I was told. He visited several times. I mean, basically anytime he didn't have baseball and they were practicing, he was trying to get there or being there. And, you know, spending time with the coaches, spending time with the players, all of that. And like I was saying, you know, everything's trending towards him showing up or at least having a easier decision to make from a money standpoint. Doesn't seem like he's going to be getting that top 15, top 20 money.
Yeah, his decision might be changing. It's fascinating. Speaking of running backs, at least as of now, the nation's top running back, to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, my feelings will not be hurt, Zach Evans was.
He's the top running back in the country.
Zach was in town a couple weeks ago. I think he is due back here pretty soon. Maybe not. I don't think it's this weekend. It might be next weekend. It might be the double-decker weekend. I don't know. Soon. What's the feeling on him?
I mean, when he talked to you and kind of since that moment, he's kind of shifted. I mean, for so long, everybody thought he was just going to Texas, was going to stay in school, was either going to go to Texas or go to A&M. And Texas seems to really be looking at a ton of other backs, and Evan seems to be looking at a ton of other schools. I mean, he has almost every offer you can have in college. But Evan's getting back to Oxford, I think that'll be a real sign of his interest in the program. I mean, an increased level of interest in the program. He's had interest in the program for quite some time, and he's not the type of kid that wants to go play for the number one or number two team in the country. He wants to blaze his own trail.
Yeah.
And if he's going to do that, playing with an offense like the one Rich Rodriguez runs would be very productive, especially, I mean, Ole Miss fans would be dreaming and drooling, but, you know, having Ely and Zach Evans in the same backfield would be pretty exciting.
You know what? I don't want to get people's hopes up because there's a lot of ground to cover between now and then. But you said a couple things just then that I've heard independently of you. And that is that, number one, he wants to play in the SEC. Let me rephrase that. He would like to play in the SEC. It's preferable. But the school closest to him in the SEC, Texas A&M, he left his unofficial visit there early. He didn't like it. He left early. Now that could change. They could get back in on him. Stuff happens, you know. I don't want to make anybody who makes that out to be more than it is. That's on you, not me. But what you said about blazing his own trail is true. If given the choice between going to a program where he's just another one of the guys or going to a program where he's the guy, he's the kind of kid that wants to be the guy. Now there's other programs other than Ole Miss that can offer that to him. But obviously, if he goes to Clemson, they can't tell him that in good faith. And neither can Georgia or Tennessee, some of the programs that he's looked at. Ole Miss right now can. Now here's an interesting thing, Russell. This is where it gets kind of – and we're way down a kind of a rabbit hole here. Jerry and Ely goes to Ole Miss next season and excels as a freshman. That might change things for Evans, because he might look at it and go, well, now I'm not the guy, he's the guy.
Yeah, you got a point.
But again, we're way ahead of ourselves. If he shows back, if he comes back to Oxford for a second visit, it's real. Doesn't mean it's done by any stretch of anyone's imagination, but it's real at that point, and they all of a sudden become a legitimate contender for his services. And I know they already are. I'm not saying they're not, but if he comes back for another visit, it's a game changer from the storyline changes.
Yeah, and I think that you would actually start to see Ole Miss be mentioned when he does updates with national sites instead of it just being, you know what I mean? Like, it would gain traction nationally.
Yeah, I agree.
That Ole Miss was in the picture instead of just being locally from some fan sites.
Before we move on to some other guys, any other big spring ball recruiting takeaways?
I would say that, you know, the kids that visited, I mean, they were able to see what they needed to see, and it also seemed like, from the way they would describe practice, it seemed as if practice was almost more in depth and detailed than the Grove Bowl itself was, which,
well,
I mean,
yeah,
what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it also seemed like, you know, they were able to kind of not take part in the install, but understand what was going on. And I think with some quarterbacks from the state of Texas, you know, as time goes on, there's going to be some traction there.
Should there be a concern about the lack of commitments
right now?
Yeah.
I would say there should be a level of concern, yes. Do I think that there should be panicking and starting threads about it every day? No, I don't think it's at that level yet. I would say May. Yeah, I would say by May 10th, but somewhere in May, if they don't have two or three more commitments, that's where I would start to kind of be concerned if I was a fan. I mean, you know, right now I'm scrolling down the team rankings, and obviously it's extremely early. I mean, Miami has the number 4 class in the country. That's how you know it's early, because all those kids didn't decommit yet. But Ole Miss right now has the number 53 class, according to Rivals.com. And with that being said, you know, like you said, you know, signing day is, what, 8 months away for the first one? And they have a really good offensive tackle who they've had committed for quite some time, a JUCO linebacker they took from Jones County, a slot/slash running back from Florida, Kywin Herndon. And then whether or not he's committed or not depends on who you ask and what day you ask them. Cam White from Northwest. And yeah, you have 4 commits. But you know, Ole Miss took well over 25 kids last year. They're not going to be able to take that many this year. They're not going to be able to take over 25 this year. So being more careful, being more selective, not having to drop in-state kids like other teams do, is something that it seems like Luke wants to pride himself on, and it seems like they're going to do that. And the other thing that Ole Miss isn't going to do early, unless if they can avoid it, that is the early official visits again. I mentioned it when we were talking about basketball recruiting, and football recruiting, it's the same, because the last thing you want to do is, like, let's do a quick hypothetical here. I don't want to scare Ole Miss fans or anything, but let's say a 4-star quarterback from the state of Arizona comes in on an official visit. Let's say he loves everything and he likes Rich Rod. They gel, blah, blah, blah. Great first impression. And he's going to commit. Okay. So that's that. And then the offensive coordinator, Rich Rod, gets a head coaching job in the offseason. The head coach didn't change. Matt Luke's still the head coach, and he has to hire a new offensive coordinator. And the quarterback from Arizona doesn't have his official visit anymore. So you have these type of circumstances and situations where Ole Miss is trying to avoid at all costs using that official visit early on in the process. Meanwhile, you've got schools like Arkansas and Oklahoma State. You've got all these schools willing to use all of their official visits early on these kids to get them committed and to gain momentum for what they like to call it. And sometimes it backfires, sometimes it works. I mean, Oklahoma last year, during their large commitment spree, they took Jerrion Jones from Northwest Rankin, Mississippi, who decommitted about 2 months later. And it seemed like all that momentum and buzz wore off. I mean, they took his commitment. they may have not taken his commitment if he was in the state. And it seems like Ole Miss isn't willing to do that. They're not going to take a kid in the state of Mississippi that they're not 100% sure on. And I think that that's a good approach, at least at this time of year. Now, if we're talking in June and they have 6 or 7 commits, less than 10, that's where you start to be a little bit concerned.
You mentioned Trey Benson earlier in the podcast. What is the latest with him?
So Trey Benson continues to add big time offers. And I'm at the point where I believe fully that these are the, hey, Trey, you know, we really liked what you did at the opening in New Orleans. We really want to get you out here to see you in camp. And I think it's more of those kind of offers than it's, hey, man, you know, we want you to come here. You can play day one. And that gets to my next topic, which is these Nike events that are taking place and other events around the country right now where you're getting these large discrepancies in these 40-yard dash times, the verticals being like 10 inches off, the 40 times being 2/10 of a second, which doesn't sound like much, but there's a big difference between a 4.49 and a 4.69. Absolutely a big difference. And when you see some of the results these kids are getting, like, I mean, not to pick on Benson, but I mean, the Benson's time was so eye-opening in New Orleans because he had never ran that before in his entire life. I mean, Oregon's offered, Penn State's offered, Mississippi State's offered. I would say Mississippi State's still the favorite right now. And same with his teammate, Dylan Johnson. I still currently see them both ending up at Mississippi State. But Ole Miss has decided to hold off on offering. They want to see him run in front of them, whether it be in the spring evaluation period, which is coming up real quick, or the summer camps. So they're going to wait on that one.
People get worked up about, I know he's a friend of yours, a great friend of mine, Tyler Siski. People get worked up about his tweets. Is that, are people just overreacting? I giggle at them. I know some of them are not about Ole Miss football sometimes, and it's Tyler having some fun. But some people get worked up. Should they?
No, not at all. And, you know, being that I've covered multiple schools and I cover multiple schools right now, a lot of people in his role do that when something exciting happens. Doesn't have to be a commitment. Hell, it could have been a good day of practice. Could have been a good day of a good breakfast. I mean, you know, and not every single time he pushes tweet does it mean, hey, there's a commitment coming. Maybe it'll be 2 weeks, 3 months from now, but he's coming and I'll show it to you later. I mean, no, it's not like that. I mean, just like everybody else wants to, they want to tweet, and his tweets may build up some excitement around the program for when good things are happening. I don't see a problem with it. I mean, that's what he does, but it's not every single tweet is a commitment. And he would tell you that if you asked him.
A couple last topics. What's the latest on Jimmy Holiday?
So I was a little bit surprised when I saw this today. Madison Central quarterback, DB, athlete, whatever you want to call him, Jimmy Holiday is taking an official visit to Kansas this weekend. And that gets to really the last topic. And you're starting to see schools that don't normally recruit the state of Mississippi being open and willing and ready to recruit the state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to last year's success out-of-state schools had. I mean, you've got schools like Washington State coming in. Obviously, they have the quarterback from last year, Gardner Minshew. They have that effect. They're trying to use it any possible way. You've got Baylor, who had success last year, taking the kid from Hattiesburg and wanting more. You've got Arkansas ready, willing, and able to try to get Janari Dean, and not in the state of Mississippi, but trying to get the Memphis kid. I mean, you've got schools like that that are see the opportunity in such a talented state, even though everybody's been, you know, down on the class of 2020. I mean, there's some really, really high upside guys. There's also some really, really high character guys that last year's class may not have had. I mean, last year's class, you had so many talented players, but a lot of them weren't as talented off the field as they were on. And this year they are. And you're going to see schools like Harvard come in and offer kids. You're going to see schools like not Vanderbilt, but you're going to see Stanford probably come in and offer a couple kids in the state of Mississippi. Because number one, they see opportunity. They're not going to waste an offer. And number two, they're talented enough to do it. And Jimmy Holiday being at Kansas this weekend, do I expect him to commit to Kansas? Absolutely not. I'm still fairly confident in my pick for him to end up at Ole Miss and to play DB at Ole Miss.
You know, I think it's two things. I think it's one, there's a perception that that Ole Miss is weak. And then two, I think there's a perception nationally that Joe Moorhead and his staff at Mississippi State have yet to sort of figure out the landscape in Mississippi, how to relate to Mississippi kids, that kind of thing, and that it has created a just kind of a vacuum that teams are trying to fill. My personal opinion is that Moorhead gets it stabilized, that Luke gets it stabilized, and that it ends up being most of the kids stay in state. But I understand why it's happening the way that it is. It's more than just one program. It's two programs.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we'll wrap there. We've been 40 minutes in. That's probably enough recruiting for now. We'll come back next week. Probably late next week. We'll look at the basketball signing period. See what's going on there. We'll talk about it, and we'll update you on what might be going on with football. Maybe not just with Ole Miss, but just kind of around the around this part of the country, and that kind of thing. And we'll go from there. So for Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxie. Don't forget, go to deadsoxie.com. Check out their no-show collection. Remember to enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off all orders. Until then, for Russell, I'm Neil. Take care.